makes me want to cry every time. That's some ex-cowboy, ex-bull rider wanting to cry. What's up with that? I am a beekeeper, and there's several other guys in here that I know are beekeepers. And my grandson, if you look at his face this morning, they're not always safe to be around. He got stung. You ought to see that this morning. He's like a little Chinese. But I read this little note. This man's telling about his wife who got stung. A man said, "My wife got stung by a bee on her forehead. She's at the ER now. Her face is all swollen and bruised. She almost died. Lucky I was close enough when she got stung to hit it with my shovel." Ladies, don't stand by your husband in the springtime when the bees are out, when he got a shovel in his hand. Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19 says this. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," Jesus speaking here. "He chose me to tell the good news to poor people. He sent me to preach freedom to the captives and to help blind people see again. He sent me to lift up brokenhearted people and to announce the welcome year of the Lord." Galatians 5:1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free." This scripture that we just read in Luke chapter 4, I think is the first sermon that Jesus brought, that he gave. And in this sermon, he spells out what the ministry, the theme of his ministry was going to be. Jesus, in his very first sermon, said, "I came to bring good news." And he said, "I came to set people free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." I want to talk to you a little bit more this morning about freedom. Jesus promises lasting freedom that you and I can count on. He died for us to have freedom. I spoke to you, sometime back. It's been several months now, weeks ago. I spoke to you a little bit about freedom then. Is the reason why I say I want to speak to you a little more about freedom. And I talked about some things that steal our freedom in Christ Jesus. And today I want to talk to you about some things, look at a few things that Christ has set us free from in our Christian life. First thing I'd like to talk to you about is freedom of the pain of resentment. I think resentment can bring a lot of pain in our lives. In life, we end up hurting people, and people end up hurting us. And when we hurt people, if our heart is right, we feel guilty. And when people hurt us, a lot of times in life, we have resentment toward that person. Bitterness is a poison. It is a deadly poison. It will affect your entire life. It reminds me of these crazy ants. Have you ever seen these crazy ants? Last year, we had them so bad. And Ms. Verita's here this morning. She had them so bad, she had to leave her home and have it fumigated. But I mean, they were everywhere. They were on the posts. They were on the walls, they were all over the ground. Everywhere you looked, it was all over the ground. You work in your beds, they climb up your arms. It was all over. Bitterness is like that. It can ruin everything. I heard a story about these two sisters, twin sisters, who lived in a small town, went to a small church, and one sister was engaged to this man. Well, halfway through the engagement, he broke it off with her and he ended up marrying the other twin sister. And there was big problems, very big problems. The two sisters developed a resentment and a bitterness toward one another. And it divided the church. And one sister sat on one half of the church. The other sister sat on the other side. And the people of that congregation just kind of chose the side they were going to sit on, who they believed, kind of like who they were for. And for long, long years after that, the sisters were well up in age, and they were still bitter at one another. And do you know that church was still divided all those years after that? That is what bitterness can do. Bitterness can wreck everything. In your own person, in your family, and in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are going to be hurt in life, intentionally or unintentionally, one way or another. It is not so important that we're going to be hurt, but what's important is how are we going to deal with it? Are you going to get bitter or are you going to get better? Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, malice, slander. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, if you and I learn to forgive, we can move on. Our lives become so much better. But if we harbor resentment, it's kind of like crazy ants. Everything is ruined. What we like to do is we like to get even. We like to get revenge, to retaliate, to get resentful. But remember this, resentment is always worse on you than the person that you are have resentment against. It always affects you more. You remember that old radio program? It was years ago. I'm not going to ask you raise your hand because it'll tell your age. I don't even remember it. It was Amos and Andy. One day at work, someone every day would keep slapping Amos on his chest. Every time he'd come up to him, he would slap him on his chest. Amos said, I'm going to get even with that guy. And Andy said, well, how are you going to do that? He said, I'm going to strap a stick of dynamite on my chest, and next time he slaps me on the chest, he's going to blow his hand off. Well, that's about as wise as being resentful. Let it go. Let it roll off your back. Like they say, like a water rolls off a duck's back. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, and so on, is what the scripture says. Let him set you free from resentment. Who are you bitter against today? Is there someone in your life that you're holding bitter against? Maybe a husband, your wife, God forbid, your own child? You might be saying, you know, I just cannot forgive that person. I'm having such a hard time trying to forgive this person. That's why we need Christ. That is why we need Jesus. We need the power of God in our lives to be able to get over these obstacles, these hurdles in life for our own benefit. This next one I want to talk about, we talked about it some last time I spoke on freedom. So I'm not going to linger on it too much, but some of the things that I say might jog your mind. At least I hope it does. But what about expectations of others? There are a lot of things in life that want to cause us to conform. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4 says, we do not aim to please men, but to please God who knows us through and through. Jesus can set us free from always wanting to conform to other people, to things in life. We spend so much time trying to dress like other people, even if it is immodest. There is a lot of immodesty in the church today. We want to dress like other people, talk like other people, act like other people. You know, one of the most relaxing decisions in life is when you and I discover that we can be set free from all of these things through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By reading His Word, by praying to God. One of the things about becoming a Christian is that it really does simplify life. All these things that come upon us that want to draw us away and cause us to do things that we know are against God can just roll off our back when we are in the Word of God. All we need to do is focus on Christ and do His will. Because if I am doing the Lord's will, if I am pleasing God, you remember what I said last time? That will always be the right thing to do. So regardless of what other people think, if I am doing what God wants me to do, that's what's most important. That's what counts. Jesus didn't even please everybody. They hung Him on a cross. When Christ has set you free, you can say, God loves me. And you can like yourself. A lot of people don't even like themselves. Jesus wants to set us free from these pressures of always having to try to conform. You know what the real pressure in our life is? And I believe that if you look deep within your soul, in your innermost being, you will agree with this. It's materialism. We buy things that we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. One man said, you know, we could get out of debt if the neighbors would stop buying things we can't afford. There's a lot of truth to that. We're trying to conform. Who cares what other people think? Who cares? What matters is what the Lord sees in our hearts. We get so caught up trying to make a living that we forget to make a life. The Bible says that Christ came to set us free from that. And then the control of desires. In other words, those habits that we have a hard time getting control of, there are so many of them. How many times do we say, man, I can't stop. I can't get control of this or get control of that. My life is out of control. Listen to John 8, 34 and 36. He says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. If there's something in my life that keeps plaguing me and I cannot get over it, I just can't get rid of it, I am a slave to that sin. It is my master. It is controlling me. Jesus is talking about bad habits, wrong thoughts, strong desires, and many other things. Someone said, I am free to go and to live any way that I want to live and to do whatever I want to do. He is not free. He is a slave to his own desires. Jesus said, anyone who sins is a slave to that sin. There are certain laws that are always in action. Physical laws, moral laws. I touched on that too sometime a little bit last time I spoke on freedom. If I were to take you up on a 20-story building and you're standing on the side of me and you're looking down and you say, you know, I have the freedom to jump off of this building. I would say, yeah, you sure do. You have that freedom. You can jump off of this building and nobody's going to try to stop you. And you jump off, and as you're sailing down, someone asks, how's it going? And you say, so far, so good. You know, people are like that. They're saying so far, so good, but they just haven't hit bottom yet. There is a certain law that comes into effect, and it's called the law of gravity. And it has serious consequences when it is neglected, when it is ignored. And it's the same thing with the moral laws that we live by according to God's standards. You are free to do anything that you want to do. You can live any way that you want to live. But the moment you make that decision, you are no longer free of the consequences. You are free to choose any lifestyle that you want to live, but you are not free from the consequences of that lifestyle, regardless of what it is. There was an article by Ernest Hemingway, and the article was talking about Hemingway. He didn't have any regard for God, this man. He just lived life any way that he wanted to live, did what he wanted to do anytime he wanted to do it. He was quite a worldly man. And at the end of the article, it was bragging about this guy, how he lived his lifestyle, ignoring God's standards, and how he was such a tremendous success in life. And at the end of the article, it quoted from the Bible, the wages of sin is death. But obviously, for Ernest Hemingway, it paid off. And it left it like that. But it wasn't 6 months later, after that article was written, that Ernest Hemingway committed suicide. And his last words were, my life is as empty as in a vacuum tube in a television set with the plug pulled out. Was he free? He was not free. He was a slave to his own desires. Listen to Galatians 5, 16, 17. It says, so I tell you, live by following the Spirit. Then you won't do the selfish and evil things which you want in your human nature. The human nature wants things which are against the Spirit. The Spirit wants things which are against our human nature. They oppose each other. Because of this, you cannot do the things that you really want to do. God will help us with self-control. Self-control comes by Christ's control. What drive is out of control in your life? Is it ambition? I want something so bad that I am willing to risk family and health for it. Jesus said, I want to set you free from that bondage. We do not need these type of bondages in our lives. You have a temper? Can't get control of my temper. I used to have that problem. Alexander the Great conquered the whole known world as a young man. He had an uncontrollable temper, very angry person. And one day he had a fit of rage and he struck his best friend, his right-hand general. He struck him and he killed him on accident. and he cried out, I have conquered the whole world, and I can't even conquer my own soul. Have you ever felt that way? How come I can't get this area in my life under control? That is why we need Christ. That is why we need Christ. Another thing I want to talk about this morning, we're going to wrap it up here in a few more, is a fear of death. This is probably, I would think, probably one of the greatest things that we really don't like to talk about too much, the fear of dying. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. People don't like to talk too much about death. We just don't. We don't like to speak of it too much. I remember when I was a younger man, I guess it was in my early 20s, I was just became a Christian. I was a young Christian, young married, worked in the plants, did a lot of turnaround work. And those guys that work in the plants, not all of them, but a lot of them, probably most of them, they're some pretty rough characters a lot of times. And there's certain things they don't want to talk about. One of them is Christ. Some of them do. And my tactics back then were not too good in leading in to talk about the Lord. I would just say, you ever think about dying? You know? And they would look at me kind of funny. They wasn't ready to talk about the Lord. But a lot of times when they don't want to, it's because they're not prepared for death. People don't have Christ in their lives. But even as Christians, a lot of times we don't want to talk about it because we don't know what's going to go on. And a lot of times we fear the unknown. But death is inevitable. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. Death is an equalizer. It doesn't matter how much money I make. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have or how dumb I am. All of us are going to die one day. And isn't it foolish to go all the way through life unprepared for something that we know is going to happen eventually? Now, I'm not saying be morbid about it and think about it all the time. I'm just saying prepare for it and put it out of your mind. Life becomes so much more relaxing when you and I realize and get ready for what is going to happen at the end of our life. One man said, I enjoy life so much more now that I am ready for death. God does not want you and I to fear death. He does not want you and I to be afraid to die. Death is not the worst thing in the world if you are in Christ. He wants us to know him and to obey the gospel. He wants to be our Father, so that when death does come, it is just a transfer on to better things. Lastly this morning, and I think this one will help us prepare for death, is Jesus wants to set us free from the burden of guilt. There are a lot of people in this world who are bound up today by guilt. But it doesn't have to be that way. Some people just live with the weight of the past on them all the time. David said, my sin is ever before me. But do you know that if you sinned, that you're forgiven of that sin. If you have repented of that sin, you are forgiven. God does forgive. And when we are forgiven, you ought to just forget about it. Sometimes we fall into a sin that we're so ashamed of, something that we wish never would have happened, something that we wish we just could take it back. And we think it's too late. I cannot be forgiven. And we believe in our hearts sometimes that God will forgive every other person, but not this, not what I've done. Do you realize what you're doing when we do that? We're doubting our salvation. You're doubting that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you of your sins. You're doubting the power of God. You're doubting the wisdom of God. You're doubting the love of God, the mercy of God. We're doubting the word of God when we do this. That's unbelief. That is the worst of sins, when we have unbelief. I don't care if you stole something or you murdered somebody. What you're doing now is worse than what you did. Unbelief. You cannot live indefinitely with guilt. All of us make mistakes. All of us have sinned. All of us are guilty. Listen to Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. It says, in him, you hear that? In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Thank God. Guilt will rob your happiness. It causes depression. Do you know that some doctors say that 80% of all people in hospitals could walk out of those doors if they could get rid of guilt and bitterness? I believe that. You know what the number one, well, it used to be number one, it's number two now, but I looked up the statistics the other day. The number two killer of college students and high school students is suicide. You know why? Depression and guilt. Parents, leave the communication lines open between you and your children. It is a very vulnerable time in their lives. Talk to your children. Let them speak to you. Let them tell you their troubles. The Bible says when we come to Christ, he forgives us instantly. Instantly. He forgives us completely without question. Christ takes away our sins, and God forgives us of them forever. He chooses to forgive us of them. Once we learn that God forgives and forgets, then you and I can forgive and forget. When God forgives us of our sins, he takes our sins and he puts them in the deepest part of the ocean, and then he puts up a no fishing sign because he does not want us pulling them back out again. Forget. Let go of guilt. You know what? If there were no heaven, thank God there is. But if there were no heaven, it would be worth it to become a Christian just to have a clear conscience. Oh, the joy that comes from knowing that I am forgiven. You know, because we live in America, we enjoy many, many, many freedoms that many parts of the world do not. Just being missions deacon, I get to read a lot and talk to a lot of people, and I see and understand how blessed we are in America. We have the freedom to work. We have freedom to worship God. We have freedom to travel. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom to go to school wherever we want to go. We have freedom to live where we want to live. Freedom to educate. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Let's say all those freedoms were taken away from us. The freedom that we have in Christ Jesus cannot be taken away. That is the freedom that matters. He has set us free from resentment, expectations of others, control of desires, the fear of death, guilt, and this list goes on and on and on too. Yes, we are free indeed. If you want to have that freedom in your life and to be free from all the burdens that Satan wants to put on you, come as we stand and sing.